Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited for all of our viewers and listeners that are joining us all across the nation and around the world. Of course, our Christian Television Network audience. We're excited to be with you here today and sharing all the things that God just put on our heart to share with you. Joining me today in the studio is the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. That's what I wanted to hear. Good day.
Good day.
Don't forget that we are two programs back to back. Of course, you can catch two programs back to back. You can catch us on VFNTV.com. Of course, we have he keeps me
you on track.
Hey,
man.
Listen, I need it. The Lord knows I need it.
We all need it.
But you can catch us and everything that you need to know really about the program, VFNTV, at VFNTV.com. We have so many different ways that you can connect. Whether that's podcasts or downloading the app. Of course, we have video for you to see, and there's so much there. Just visit VFNTV.com and stay a while. Mm-hmm. And, of course, share with a friend. In today's program, we're going to be talking about debt-canceling miracle. I don't know if...
I like those.
You like those,
oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, God can do anything. And he's not opposed to canceling some debt.
Amen.
And we're going to see about some of the things that he has done in the Word of God and maybe what we can believe God to do in our own life. So you make sure you want to be tuned for that. We're also going to be talking about what does it mean to be a champion? Mm. You know, you see a lot of people today, especially athletes, competing on the world stage to become an athletic champion. I mean, they're working hard. They have determination. Inspiration and perspiration,
you
know what I'm saying, involved and invested to be a champion. And they don't compete just for a ribbon. You know, everyone wants the top spot. They want the ring. Mm-hmm. They want the championship ring. And we're going to talk about what does it mean to be a champion and what does it mean maybe to be a champion for God. So we're going to talk about that and impact that as well. In today's program, we're going to be talking about the cost and the reward. Right, Steve?
Amen.
The cost and reward.
But you want to... Okay, we're... all right, then. Now, when I just really began to think about this, you know, God just kind of just dropped it on me and just really just began to unpack this. And the encouraging thing is just like, a lot of times, the concept of cost and reward, most people understand. You know, the bigger the cost, most of the time you get a bigger reward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you think about it, you know, if you get hungry, you want some bubble gum. Not a big cost. $1, 50 cents, not really that big of a reward. If you want a new car, you know, obviously depending on what kind of car you want, you know, in the range, $30,000, American dollars, $20,000. What kind of car are you getting? Now, obviously,
that's
like I said, these are up to conversation. You know, a new house anywhere, a couple hundred thousand dollars. You
wow,
know,
that thing's big. Man, this guy deep pockets.
I like your
a couple hundred thousand.
There you go, man.
Bring it.
And I was, I
you
saw.
You must be on the East Coast in New York or California. Okay.
I had, and this really got me thinking too. I had seen a video about a super mega yacht.
Are you dreaming again?
No, I'm not. In the,
okay.
No islands or anything, but I'm serious.
Is this your list again?
Yeah.
Come on, bro. I thought we got past this.
This thing was like $5 million.
Really?
It was a big boat. It was like, it was just the intricacies and the delicacies on this thing was amazing. And I was like, wow. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's just, okay, great. That's awesome. But when you look at it, when you look at eternity, how does all of these things line up?
Mm.
How do all of these things measure up? Does it stand? Is it worth it? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But Luke 14 says, what people value highly is detestable in God's sight. Mm. And that just really got me thinking. It's just like, man, what does God value? Because obviously God's got some priorities. God's got some things that is forefront in his life, is forefront in the things that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like God doesn't look at what is valuable in the world as valuable. The world looks at material things and things as value. Mm-hmm. But God values people. And it's so valuable to God. I mean, his creation, he created, like you were talking about in a recent program, about the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve. And when they were removed, you might not think about it. It's just like it wasn't just a loss for them, but that was a loss for God. Mm-hmm. It was important to him. It was so important that God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And you look in Colossians, it says that God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in everything, through his blood shed on the cross. And you look at it, and it's just like there was a cost that had to have been paid so that God could have a reward to be with his creation. And you look at it, and I was just... And I have just been abiding, just thinking and just really trying to just wanting to go deeper in the understanding of just the cross. And you look at it and it's just like this was something that Jesus was pleased to do. And sometimes it's just like we have a hard time giving up internet. And it's just like, man.
Yeah.
And the difficulties, but it's just like the reward was worth it. Mm-hmm. You look at John 19 and verse 17, it says carrying his own cross. Jesus carried his own cross. He was willing to take upon that cost.
I think about he was on the cross. Says for the joy set before him, he endured the cross.
Yes.
What I hear you saying is that it's about what we value.
Yes.
What matters to us when we have something of significant value, we're able to determine. Hey, listen, we'll pay any price. We'll do anything.
Yes.
I mean, Pat valued. I mean, getting married. He did all kinds of things to win the heart of his bride, and he still does those things today. We won't talk about some of the lavish gifts, but Chris knows what I'm talking about. VCR, but
DVD, but, bro. Get it right.
DVD, okay, DVD.
Who has a VCR player nowadays?
I'm sorry, it's DVD player. Exactly. It's DVD.
That was you, bro.
It was an upgraded one, but you pay the price.
Yeah.
You pay the price because you say I value that.
Yeah. And you look at it, and it got me to thinking, too, it's just like, when we look at the depiction of the cross and the crucifixion, and we see the videos, or we see the movie, or we can kind of picture it in our own thought process, and it's just like, that wasn't the fullness of it. And God revealed this to Isaiah, and you look and you can read this in Isaiah 52, and it just really kind of gives that picture of what took place in that day. Because a lot of times I really think that we miss it, because I know I have. And it says in verse 13, it says, see, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised up, lifted up, and he'll be highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form was marred beyond human likeness. And you really begin to think about that, and it's just like, if you were to imagine looking at a cross, somebody got crucified, and you're just like, okay, that was a criminal that got crucified, that was a thief that got crucified, I have no idea what that was. He was marred beyond human likeness. They could not recognize. It was just, he was so torn. But you think about that, and if you look in the next chapter, Isaiah 53, and it says, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. He went through the cost to get to the reward.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, this was a beating and a suffering unlike any other, for a creation unlike any other, all because of a love unlike any other. And see, that's the thing, is like the cost isn't really a cost when the reward is worth it.
Yeah.
When the reward is more than the cost, you're willing to pay it.
Right.
And that's the thing, and it really got me to thinking too as well. It's just like a lot of times when you look at it, Jesus talks about a parable that says, you have to count the cost. You look at, being a disciple, are you willing to give up these things? And it's just, Jesus has to be worth it. And it's just like, Jesus didn't have to count the cost. Jesus was willing to go. He said, you know what, I'll go.
Yeah.
Because you're the reward.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, when you look at when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, you know, if there's another way, you know, take this cup from me. But nonetheless, you know, your will is my will. Let it be done. So there was a cost involved, but he was willing to pay. He was willing to write the check. He was willing to say, I will do it. And you're reading about Isaiah 52. I mean, that is one of my life scriptures. I love that scripture. I named my son Isaiah off of that scripture, Isaiah 52, because when I got a revelation of that, it just tore me to pieces. When I understood that with Jesus, the price that he paid for us, and you're talking about the price, you know, that the scripture says that his face was so disfigured beyond that of any man. And so his face was so tore up that it didn't even look like a man's face, and that his body was marred beyond human likeness. Oftentimes the depictions of we see of Jesus is because, you know, they couldn't show in reality what his body was like.
Yeah.
And what you see in pictures and what you see in sculptures and what you've seen other places is not really the true occurrence of what happened.
Exactly.
But I asked the question, if his face was so disfigured beyond that of any man, as Isaiah tells us, and his body was marred beyond human likeness, what was on the cross that day? What hung on the cross that was not recognizable to man, but was recognizable to God? It was the heart of a Savior. It was a heart of a God that said, I love you so much. I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to take it upon my body and take the pain and the punishment that is due you. I'm going to take it upon myself. And when our eyes open to that, to exactly what you're saying, Stephen, our eyes open to this reality, it causes us to be overwhelmed. It causes us to be just filled with compassion and gratitude and love to say, you paid that for me?
Amen.
Jesus, for me? I mean, I can understand you paying it for somebody else, but I mean, for me? And really, I mean, we say that, but who's worthy of Jesus paying the price, you know? None of us are worthy. It's just simply because of his love.
Amen. And the power of that, I want to take that a step further. We understand, you know, just, you know, in a recent program, too, we were talking about we have to know God, to know the fullness of God, to know how exciting and just the greatness of knowing God more, and we can spend eternity for knowing God. But this is the thing, is that if you have said yes to Jesus Christ, you've repented for your sins, and you says, you know what, he's worth it, I just want to go after him. Do you know how much that moves God's heart? In the limited ability of our thinking, we do not know the treasures that are within Jesus Christ. We don't know the reward of eternity, but we have said, I will pay the cost. And it's just like, how much more of it is a display of our affection and the love, the smallness of our love to Jesus to say, I don't know your reward. I mean, I know your reward is for eternity and I get to know you, but I don't have, like you're saying, that experiential, I don't really have a full comprehension of eternity, but I want to pay that cost. That pleases God.
Yeah.
And it's just like, if you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about, go to Meet My Father and meetmyfather.org and find out, learn and read some of the stories about how other people have shared and how they've met this Jesus. And you can know him. Go to iabide.org. And it's just like, there is so much more to knowing God. And I will tell you, he is worth the cost.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen, the Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy. And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn.
Mm-hmm.
Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us.
Yeah.
So we can continue to be that trumpet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com, and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page. And you'll be able to follow, has some hands around the torch.
Mm-hmm.
That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to his very word. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're just talking about the cost and the reward. My goodness. Don't forget to catch us at VFNTV.com. Of course, go to the torch. You'll see a flaming torch in the upper left-hand corner. Click it and be amazed. Over 3,000 highlights that really allow us to go deeper and expand more with related articles and videos and pictures, and allows you to really dive into more of what we were discussing. The program is only so long, so we really can't talk about everything, but we do try to source and give you as many related articles and information that allows you to go deeper and learn more for yourself.
Amen.
You know, I wanted to share about how amazing God is. I mean, we do this all the time. I think we'll continue to do this for eternity, Pat. But we're talking about a debt-canceling God and a debt-canceling miracle. I mean, when you think about our nation, I mean, our nation's budget alone, $17 trillion, so they're saying. I mean, the International Monetary Fund.
Debt.
Of debt.
What they say.
Yeah, what they say. But the International Monetary Fund says that really the debt's more like $200 trillion,
right.
You
wow.
know. So America, as a government, is in a lot of debt. But a lot of Americans, and many in the church, are in debt. And, you know, the way the system is set up now, I mean, you just... On average, or as a whole, most people don't go in and just buy a car cash. You don't go in and buy a house cash. You finance it, which means that it's a debt. It's something that you owe. And one of the reasons you know it's a debt, because if you stop paying on your car or your house, you really find out who owns it. Yeah, you're borrowing it from
them.
You get
a knock on the door.
Yeah. Or you just see the tires go, bye-bye. You just say bye-bye.
I thought I parked my car there.
But we see in 2 Kings a story about a widow. And oftentimes we may be going through a situation. You may be going through a situation today, and maybe you're crumbling under some debt, or you feel some pressure of finances these days. And, you know, as it has been since 2007, I mean, the whole nation's experiencing a financial crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the entire world is. I mean, you have different countries like Cyprus and Spain. Argentina right now in the news is saying that a major court case came out and saying that they're going to have to pay their debt. And it's billions and billions of dollars. And they've been just trying to, you know, restructure this thing. And there was a major ruling that could really have impact for sure in Argentina. But all the economies of the world are kind of interconnected. And you have your own personal economy. You know, everyone mm-hmm. has their own personal economy. And we have to see, you know, where are we?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways, you know, that a Christian can be blessed always is with an obedient life. God blesses an obedient life. But also, you know, you need to honor God. You know, you need to honor God with your tithes and with your offerings. And you can't have any reasonable expectation of living a blessed life if you're sticking God up. I mean, if you're robbing God, I mean, mm-hmm. that's not a fair you know, really, you know, expectation for you to have, because you can repent, you can ask God to forgive you, and you can begin to start doing the right thing. But how can we, before God, ask him to bless us or with more or decrease any kind of debt in our life if we haven't first put him first and honored him with what truly belongs to him? Mm-hmm. And the idea really is that it all belongs to God. He just entrusts us with whatever we have. And it's just a tenth that he set up, a tithe. I mean, you're not limited to that. If God moves on your heart for you to give more, by all means, give more. Of course, there's offerings that you can always give as well. But, you know, we've been praying. I've been praying for a grace for giving. That's what the letter to the Corinthians, Paul prayed. There's a grace in giving. There's a supernatural enablement to give beyond, like the Macedonians had. Mm. They gave beyond their ability to give. That means they had an ability, but they pressed past that. And I love that. You know, to let that be known of us, to walk like God and be givers. And I think we need to pray that over the entire church, givers and obedient givers, right? Well, in this account, in 2 Kings 4, we find out about a widow. And she was the wife of a man who was a part of the company of prophets. And she cried out to Elisha, and she says, hey, listen, your servant, he's dead. You know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as slaves. And so in the first verse, you find out, man, here's this man who revered God, loved, feared God. He was a part of the company of prophets. He was in ministry. He was a servant of Elijah, mm-hmm. and he's dead. He's dead, and the wife now is concerned that, oh, we also find out that he had debt. You know, mm-hmm. he had debt, and his debt didn't go away when he died. Mm-hmm. And this was a time where, you know, you can be in, there's debt prisons. You know, they were actually coming to take away the two sons to make sure that this debt was taken care of. And so here's this wife now, this widow, who not only lost her husband, but we can say that she lost her provision. Mm-hmm. And now she's about to lose maybe possibly her future provision because the two sons are away. They've been taken away. And so Elijah says to her, okay. He says, well, how can I help you? You know, how can I help you? And he says, you know, what do you have in your house? And so she says, I just have this little bit of oil. I just have all I have. Is except this small little jar of olive oil. Mm-hmm. And so Elijah says, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. And I understand that in order for this woman to be able to even explore this opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. She had to have some favor with neighbors, somebody who lived a life that could be entrusted with knocking on the door of a neighbor and even asking for a jar. It's like, mm-hmm. I saw what you did. Do I even know you? You know, we have to have relationship. We need to be known for our life. The New Testament says that, listen, you know, a widow in your church, she needs to be of good standing. She needs to be faithful. She needs to be a part of the family, you know. So yeah, we have to live a good life. And so he says, go get these jars and then go ahead and pour into the jars, pour the oil you have into these jars and fill each one side by side. So she tells her two sons, go ahead and gather all these jars of oil. And they begin to gather all these jars. And Elijah tells her, not just a few, not just a few, implying get a whole bunch of these jars. Mm-hmm. So they get these jars and the lady begins to fill them one by one. Now all she had was a small little bit of oil in a jar, and she begins to pour it out. And then she finally says, give me another one. And the son says, we're all out. Now, to me, that implies that she wasn't there counting, okay, we have 55 jars. I got this little bit of oil. That doesn't imply that to me. That implies that all she had was the jar and one more oil, you know, empty jar and some oil. She could just get pouring. Just hand them to me. And when she went to reach for another one, she realized, hey, there's no more left. And then she begins to go to Elisha and says, basically, now what? I put the oil in the jar. And Elisha says, go ahead and sell those jars, pay off your debt, and the rest of that, whatever's left, go ahead and live on it. See, the woman experienced a debt-canceling miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that this whole thing started out quite differently than how it ended. Her husband is dead. He was a man of God who served Elisha. And her sons were being taken away as slaves. And we're not talking about, you're owing a little bit of interest on a credit card here. Okay? We're talking about, this is serious business. Somebody up in this house is getting ready to leave.
Mm.
This is the real deal.
Yeah.
And she had no understanding of what she needed to do. Here's a clue. When you don't know what to do, seek the wisdom of God. And so she had enough inside of her to be able to ask Elijah, hey, Elijah, this is what's going on. What do I need to do? And the word of the Lord, see, God has an answer. He says, what do you have in your house? Interesting that the jar of oil always existed inside of her house,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't until it was revealed to Elijah, hey, go get that, what do you have in there? So she gets the oil, she starts to pour it out. And I tend to think about this in our own personal lives. It's time for us to start looking and investigating. What do you have in your house? You're in debt today. What do you have in your house? Not just your physical house, but what do you have in your spiritual house?
Mm.
You see, in her physical house, she had oil, and all she had was a little bit in the natural. That's all she had. But in her spiritual house, she also had faith.
Mm.
She had faith. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about how she combined what she had in the natural with what she had in the spiritual. And when she combined those two together and she operated on the word of the Lord, what miracle God performed for her. And listen, God's not a respecter of person. If he can do it for a widow who's about to lose two sons, believe me, he can do it for you. More when we come back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to now.
Because
it fits your life and your life fits the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've been reading the word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore. Somebody's, told you that that doesn't apply anymore. And they've replaced the word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right.
and I stepped to the VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
But you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults we should be able to do that. For all of our listeners out there on VFN Radio, we love to hear from you. Thank you for liking us on Facebook. And we are just beginning to venture out. And it's like, what is this Twitter thing? You know, we thank you for all the ones that are following us. And we're seeing you come in. And just be patient with us. It takes a little while for us to figure out that kind of technology. But and also our Facebook. Facebook friends that are out there. And our Christian Television Network audience. Hello to the Gulf Coast, mm-hmm. out there in the sandy beaches. It's real hot right now, I think.
Very hot.
Mm. But so if you have a sailboat, write to us, and I'll be some, I don't know, what do you call that?
Visitation.
I'll be some ballast. You know, John and I both got to go because you got to sit on one side of the boat to ballast the boat.
Bounce the other side. There you go.
Pat wouldn't even put, he doesn't have
it. He can't go.
No. So, but. The beautiful sandy beaches. We are on the Gulf Coast every day now between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. And that's very strategic because it's down there in the Gulf Coast region. It is before your local news comes on. I think it comes on around 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And is an alternative to a what is that world news perspective? You can get both a viewpoint of what's taking place in the world to get a perspective on VFN TV and the daily radio program. So when you go into your local news and you want to hear, you know, what's taking place and it's a good local news in that area, that you have a perspective now. You have a perspective, and you can go to sleep that night having a godly perspective. At least we're trying to seek that you can have a word over your heart, that you can have peace, and you can help people the next day at work. Mm. As a matter of fact, you can listen to us on the radio all day long. If you want to change the environment of your workplace, change the environment of your home, turn on VFN Radio.
Yes.
Turn it on, download our app, go to VFNTV.com to find out all the different ways you can get us.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about a debt-canceling God and what God was able to do for a widow. A widow in the time where Elisha the prophet was ministering. I mean, think about it. Of all the people that could have done a miracle, I mean, Elisha, the spiritual son of Elijah, did twice as many miracles as his spiritual father. If there was ever a ministry that would say, hey, you know, can you just wave over here and cause a little bit of cash to come up here? Or could you do a little miracle over there and, you know, cancel that thing and just make it go away? But there was something about this miracle that God wanted to do, that he wanted the woman to participate. You see, God wants us to participate, to be involved. Yeah, God can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the miracle is the revelation, you know, because she needed to walk away with an understanding that this is what God can do for her and with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that she wasn't alone. And that it wasn't just about the man of God or the woman of God or the minister. It was about what God can do for this woman individually, and that she had something.
Mm-hmm.
She had something that if she combined what she had in the natural with what she had in the spiritual, it could produce a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And so Elisha asks the woman, what do you have in your house? What do you have? So many times when there is a lack in your life, where there is a debt, for instance, you're so tempted to look at the debt. You're so tempted to look at the problem, the monstrosity of it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you behold, whatever you put your mind and your heart on, begins to grow and becomes to manifest more in your life. That's what you're focusing on. That's what your faith is attaching onto. It could attach to what God can do, or it could attach to this monstrosity you think in your eyes, and it can grow. And so he says, get that little oil out. Go ahead and pour it into these jars. And I love this woman because, you know, how many times have you heard, you know, God give a word of knowledge or an instruction, and it's like, well, did God really say that?
All
or
right.
It's filtered through a natural mind. Listen, the things of God cannot be figured out through a natural mind. Mm. I have tried it once or twice to my shame. It has not worked well for me, believe me. I don't know if Steve and Pat have any personal testimonies, but I can tell you.
I'm a little bit more than two.
Can't recall.
He can't recall. Those that know personal experience, please share it with us, VFNTV.com.
Yes.
We'd love to share Pat's. But listen, hey, you can't filter it. What God says in the Spirit must be done in the Spirit, and don't put your mind on it, and don't put your mouth on it.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't tell Elijah, did you not hear me? Did you not hear that I said I just have a little bit of oil? What are you talking about? Go get jars.
Mm.
Don't you understand? I'm in debt. You know what I'm saying? I've got a problem here. She didn't say that. She said, okay. Okay. And it's interesting that once the last jar was filled, the oil stopped flowing.
Mm.
The oil stopped flowing. See, she had to participate. The woman not only had natural oil, right, but she also had faith because she had to combine her faith. She had to listen to the word of the Lord and take action upon it, right? But the oil also represents the anointing in her life. You know, God has an anointing for you. You have an anointing on your life, maybe to do business or to work. There's a grace upon your life to do something, and God wants to. He's poured out a measure to all of us that know Him. If you're a son and daughter of God, listen. Start employing the anointing. Start moving your faith. Start using the things that God has given you, and not start doing it in the natural, but start doing it in faith in the spiritual. And so do what God has told you to do. And so it's interesting that she didn't even know, like, what to do, because she had to say to Elijah, okay, I got these jars and oil. I don't know what we're going to do with them here, but he actually had to tell her the next step.
Mm.
Now go and sell them. Pay off your debt. It was enough to take care of her debt. And you got to imagine that the debt had to be large enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if these young men knew that they were facing slavery, I tend to think they would have said, hey, Mom, you know, let us go cut some grass real quick. You know what I'm saying? Let us go build a house for somebody real quick, and we can pay this thing off real quick. There's two of us. We know we can get twice the return for our labor. We can work something out here.
Right.
But something just tends to, you know, I lean on a little bit that maybe this debt was way beyond their ability to do a quick fix on.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was so much abundance, there was so much provision, it was not just enough to take care of the debt, but she was actually able to live on the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a reminder to me, just for us to be able to believe God, get out of our natural minds about what things look like, and begin to start asking God for God's solutions, God words, you know, words of knowledge, instruction from the Holy Spirit, and begin to obey what God has told you to do, and start pouring it out. Start pouring it out. Start losing yourself in the things of God. Oftentimes we get so sidetracked and thinking about our own personal needs, while the house of God is neglected, while the things of God are neglected, and it's like, well, maybe your house isn't the way it is because you've neglected the house of God.
Mm.
You know, maybe those things have to go. Maybe you have just too much. But whatever the situation is, you want to err with putting God first. Mm-hmm. You want to err taking care of God's stuff more than taking care of your stuff. And doing what he has instructed you to do. And so I just look at this woman and I stay just, you know, encouraged and overwhelmed with her commitment to saying, you know what, I'm just going to trust the Lord. Because she understood that too, that provision, all provision comes from God. That's one of the things that we have to understand, that provision doesn't just come from your hands. He's the one that has enabled your hands to work. He's giving you the ability to think. To Deuteronomy says to gather wealth. Listen, if God doesn't hold you together, I mean, our bodies are so fragile. You may not be able to get out of bed and go to work.
Uh-huh.
You know, I knew someone who worked at, did some speaking, and he had Bell's palsy. Bell's palsy is something that happens. It happened other places, but I'm aware of it. It happens in your face when you're partially paralyzed, and he couldn't even open his mouth. He could, like, half of his face was paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And he was a speaker.
Oh, wow.
And this man was used to traveling all across the country. So I supported his family, and just one day, just like that, couldn't even open his mouth.
Wow.
Couldn't even open his mouth. God healed him. God healed him, and he's doing it. But it just goes to show you that life is just so fragile, and it's better just to say, God, okay, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
I can believe you to cancel some debt. I can believe you to do anything, but it's not going to happen not by might, not by power, but by your spirit.
Amen.
And by obeying the word of the Lord. And get involved. You know, start pouring out the oil. Start pouring out what God has poured into you.
Mm.
And watch and see the miracle take place. Listen, as long as she kept pouring, the oil continued to flow. Don't stop pouring. And don't just gather a few jars.
As many as you can.
Gather as many as you can. So we'll believe with you. You believe with us. Debt canceling. God, he can do it. There's nothing that he can't do. And if he did it for the widow, why would he not do it for you? You know, in a previous program, we were talking about what it takes to be a champion. You know, there are many athletes today that are of all ages, Pat. I mean, I know Pat played some football in his prime.
Mm-hmm. Long time ago.
Long time ago. He has a couple bionic parts there, Steve. You have to ask him about it, where he got his knee. Is that an original? We won't talk.
No, I borrowed it.
You borrowed that?
Yeah. It's on loan right now.
It's on loan. Hopefully the person doesn't want it back.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So, you know, athletes, all ages, and they play a sport, but, you know, they love to compete. They have something in common. You take an athlete, they love to compete, but the other thing that they have, no matter whether they play football, baseball, soccer, basketball, badminton, okay, or boxing, okay, everybody who competes wants to be a champion. I mean, they want to be a champion. They want to win the prize. They all want to wear the ring. And it's interesting how every major league team, you know, when they win the championship, they have special rings made, right? And the rings commemorate, you know, this awesome achievement. You know, usually the ring, the championship ring, I mean, in fact, I mean, it takes oftentimes a whole year to get this ring back. So if they win, you know, they win the ring in their present season, their championship, it's normally like the next season that they present them with the championship ring.
That's a long time for them to actually get it.
Really?
Yeah, it takes a long time. And so it goes to a jeweler. There's a special design that's made. Normally, it is a very large, gaudy ring.
Yeah.
It's encrusted with diamonds everywhere. And, of course, it has one special thing on it. One special thing. The word champion.
Mm-hmm.
They're champion. And they wear it proudly. And some of these athletes, you know, they really like to take out, if they won four or five, they'll put all five of them on their hands, you know, and they say, I've got five rings. because they say, I'm a champion. Mm-hmm. I'm a champion. And we can clearly see that these athletes, they have a commitment. They have a dedication, a determination. And I talk about, you know, hey, and they have some perspiration. You have to be involved. You have, it takes mm-hmm. work. It takes effort. And they're willing to invest what they have to be a champ. And this is true. I mean, they're saying that, hey, there's a saying out there that says that true champions can't be bought. They have to be earned. You know, and it's true. There's something about investing in yourself and committing to being number one at what you do. And these athletes want to do that. They don't win. They don't play for second place. You know, they don't say, well, I'm just going to try out and see if we win today. Everybody wants to win. Everybody, you know, if you're an athlete.
Uh-huh.
And it means that they have to put effort in their work. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about what it takes. What does it take to be a champion? All right, we know you want the ring, but what do you got to do to get the ring? And what do you got to do to be a champion? Everybody competes,
mm-hmm.
but there's only one champion. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk more about what you can do when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order. And for Israel, this is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or fall. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns against, I'm not going to be silent. You can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business, provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God.
Mm.
He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation we want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order. Well, I just want to say right up front that Donna was out shopping, and she got a Saints jersey.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
A Saints jersey. That's a football team, not hockey. And
does she need something to mop up the floor?
No, actually.
I mean,
thing about it was, you know, if you look back, if you study the archaeological digs around New Orleans, you'll find out they did win once.
Did they?
They did. Okay. And it must be over because she found it in somebody's garage brand new for a dollar.
For a dollar.
Do you remember the day that those things were so high? It was like,
wow.
These were just like,
oh, yeah.
These were like stuffing, you know, for your, like, place the peanut thing. And so, of course, I'm like, she says, like, I got to give this to Pat. And I'm thinking, you got to give that to Pat? I'm going to sleep in it. And I had a dream.
Was it a scary dream?
Huh?
Was it a scary dream?
They just lost again.
Okay. No,
it wasn't.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. Really, there wasn't a dream. Nothing happening as usual. But I can't believe a dollar. It's going for a dollar now.
Wow. I never come across that.
I said, baby, if you ever run into another one, you know, get it.
Yeah,
get it.
Because
they will quit printing them after a while.
Yeah.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and we're talking about what it takes to be a champion and some of the commitments that athletes make on a daily basis. I mean, you don't decide to be a champion at the end of the season or halfway through the season. And I believe even when the Seattle Seahawks just won the Super Bowl, they put in the beginning of their year, they actually put it out there. They said, this is a championship season. And they said, we want to go all the way. We're going to win the championship. Mm-hmm. That's how you got to come play.
They made a video, I think.
Yeah, they made a video. You got to bring it. Maybe we'll relate it. We've talked about it on the BFN TV program. But, and, of course, on the radio, we'll make sure that we relate it to this, what we're talking about here today. But, you know, you got to be ready to be a champion. You have to have that type of a mindset, and you got to play to win. And sometimes when people say that, oh, they were just lucky, there's no such thing as luck. I heard someone say that luck is when hard work and opportunity come together.
Oh, yeah.
That's what luck is, hard work and opportunity. Hmm. And you have to be willing to give the hard work, and you have to be willing to say, hey, listen, I want to be a champ. And the question that I have for you today as a believer and as a son and daughter of God, you know, have you given much thought to what it means to be a champ in God, a champion for God? Because 1 Corinthians, even Paul says, you know, do you not know that in the race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown. We're talking about a ring that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. That's why we do it. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. Paul's like, I'm not running here just to, you know, I'm running here with a purpose. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Hello. He's saying, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. He wants the ring. He wants the ring. He wants to know what it means to be a champ in God. And we're going to discuss some characteristics of what you can do to say, hey, listen, I know what athletes do for just a piece of jewelry and just so that they can say that they're a champion in their, you know, respective sport. But I want to step up my game, if you will, and I want to be a champ for God. Well, the first characteristic of a champ for God is in the letter C of the word champ. You cannot be a champion for God unless you've made a commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
I mean, you've got to know him personally. You have to have an intimate, abiding relationship with him. You know, you've got to walk with him and talk with him and pray and abide and write down what he says to you in the scriptures. And you got to know him. We've talked about in a previous scripture that it's not enough to know about him. You have to know him intimately. So we're taking the word champ like an acronym, and we're going to talk about the characteristics. The C is to know Jesus Christ. Well, another you know, trait, characteristics of a champion, a champ for God, man or woman, right, is H, and that's for humility. I mean, Jesus Christ was the most humble person that's ever walked the face of the earth, and we must imitate him. And humility is a character trait that should be highly esteemed among the sons and daughters of God. It's something that we should aim to have in our life, which is basically, you know, total dependency upon God and respect for other people. And that's part of being a champ for God, is to be a man or woman who embraces humility. You know, when the scriptures say that, you know, God gives grace to the humble, right? But he resists the proud. And that, you know, we're instructed in God's word to, you know, humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will be the one to lift us up. And if we do God's job, which means lift us up, then that means he has to do our job, Pat, and that means he'll have to humble us.
Oh, yeah. You know? That's right.
So it's easier to humble yourself. The next characteristic in the word champ is for the letter A, and that's to abide. I mean, You got to have an abiding relationship with the Lord. You want to be a champ for God, a man of God, a woman of God, want to be a champ. You need to incorporate an abiding relationship. And you can find more at iabide.org. But, you know, John chapter 15 talks about how we need to remain in God. He says, remain in me, and I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He goes on to say in verse 9 that as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain, now abide in my love. And if you want to be a champ, you're going to walk and enter into the place of how can I have that abiding relationship with Jesus? How can I remain in him? And you do that by hiding his word in your heart. You abide by writing down what God tells you as you spend time with him on a daily basis. And for more on that, please visit, you know, iabide.org. And we have a simple plan to give you on how you can have this characteristic in your life, an abiding relationship with God. The M is for maturity. You want to be a champion in God? You want to be a champ, a woman of God, a man of God? Then you need to have maturity in your life. But there is no true maturity in God without the wisdom of God. So you got to be a man or a woman of God that values the wisdom of God and says, I'm not going to live by the wisdom of this world, but rather I'm going to live by the wisdom of God. And Proverbs 8 says that wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I love what King Solomon said. He said, just Lord, God, give me wisdom. give me wisdom because I'm young. And I'll tell you that when you embrace the wisdom of God in your life, your decisions will be right. The choices you make will be right. There'll be decisions that honor God and glorify him as opposed to following the foolishness of the wisdom of this world. And the last characteristic that we're talking about becoming a champion, a champ for God, is the letter P, and that's to live a pure life. Be a man or a woman of God of purity. Purity in your mind, purity in your thoughts, purity in your motives, purity in your actions, purity in what you see. You know, you read in the Old Testament about all these different times about, you know, they couldn't be around anything that was unclean or any dead animals or no defilement. And there was a washing and a ceremonial cleansing and an offering. And you see that repeatedly. And it's a type and a shadow of to help us to get all the impurities out of our own life and out of our own heart. And where Jesus tells Peter, Matthew 15, he says, are you still so dull? Why do you keep asking me this? Jesus, don't you see that whatever enters a mouth and stomach makes, you know, comes out of the body? It's no more about this food stuff, but the things that come out of the person's mouth come from the heart. And those are the things that defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual morality, theft, false testimony, and slander. And these are the things that defile them. We're talking about being a man and a woman of God, being a champion. And there's some characteristics that you want to put in your life. Listen, instead of going for the prize just to have a ring that has no, you know, eternal significant value, you want to leave an heirloom to your family member? You want to leave something that lasts generations? Don't leave just an old, you know, silver ring that your mom wore, your dad wore. Don't leave a little medallion. Leave a spiritual legacy. Leave a spiritual ring of one that's become a champion for God. One that says, I want to be a champ. I want to live my life on the highest level for God, and I want to lay it all down. Will you be a champion today? We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com, on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.